You've probably heard the phrase armchair commentator before. Maybe you are even one yourself. Well, thanks to an Auckland-born company called Spalk, S-P-A-L-K, armchair commentators can now talk to an audience around the globe. Spalk co-founder Ben Reynolds is a Kiwi, but he moved to New York City 6 months ago, and he joins me now. Hey there, Ben.
Hey, Jesse. How are you? Good to be here.
Make us jealous. What are you doing right now?
Actually a very lazy day. I'm feeling a little ill this morning, so I'm sitting in my pajamas in my New York apartment, so nothing too exciting.
Did you know much about New York before you moved there?
We did quite a bit of travel up here for the business before I made the move up here. I mean, we moved up largely because New York's the sort of center of the sporting world. And so before that, we were traveling up here a lot to meet with customers and investors and things like that. So it was a pretty easy move when the time came.
Easy but exciting, presumably.
Yeah, I mean, everything you read about New York, it's a pretty one-of-a-kind city. And I'm sort of heading into my first proper winter here, so I've got plenty of warm clothes, and coming from little old Auckland, it's a little bit of a change having snow falling outside.
And Christmas in New York too is meant to be pretty special.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, but you haven't got time to sit on Santa's knee and ask for presents because you've got business to do. Tell me, what is Spalk?
Yeah, sure. So we were born in Auckland about 3.5 years ago. Me and a good friend of mine, Michael Prendergast, both huge sports fans. And I'd say we share another trait, which is we both dislike Justin Marshall's commentary.
Great.
So we were sitting there watching Super Rugby and cricket matches, and particularly on the Super Rugby, getting sick and tired of Justin Marshall, and said, hey, why don't we have a go at commentating ourselves? And so we would sit in our apartment in Eden Terrace, watch the matches on TV, and do our own audio, almost like comedic style commentary with ourselves and groups of friends and things like that. And soon we figured out that, hey, the real problem with alternate commentary is because we're not in the stadium, our commentary is out of time with what everybody's watching on TV.
I've noticed that when I try and listen to the alternative cricket commentary, you've got to do a little fiddle-me-do with your Sky if you've got it to get them in sync.
Totally. So you've got to pause the MySky, hope you get it in time. And the ACC are pretty good that they do sort of give people some cues. But in the real world, that's just a really difficult problem to solve with people sitting at home commentating matches. And so we've built some software to sort of solve that synchronization issue. And now we sell that to broadcasters and sports federations all around the world so that they can do different languages, different styles, comedians, things like that as live commentary.
Yeah, so much to ask. What do you need to do? Do you need to, like, if I'm commentating something at my house, what do you need to do to my commentary? Do you need to pick it up and attach it to the visual feed in some way? Or, you know, are you delaying it? Or,
Yes, I'll give you an example. So World Rugby are a really good partner of ours, a really good customer of ours. And at the Rugby World Cup, we were providing German, French, Japanese, Spanish, French, I think I've got everything, language commentary for TV networks around the world on Rugby World Cup. And what we do is we take the same feed that Spalk was showing in New Zealand. We do some clever sort of time stamping. And so we know, hey, what time is the commentator at? What time is the video at that they're watching? Synchronize those all together, and then we throw it into the cloud, and TV partners can sort of pull those feeds down and use them as they need to for their fans.
So no problem if the we don't need you if the German commentator happens to be at the game in Japan, because his audio gets, or her audio gets, attached to the pictures. But if he or she is in Berlin, then your software turns the combined picture feed and audio feed into something that a TV station can then send out.
Exactly. And so we sort of coined the term virtual commentary studio, if you like. So there's this old adage that software is eating the world, and software is encroaching on all these different areas of our lives, and commentary and in-person commentary is the sort of bit of the world that we're chewing up and putting into the cloud.
Mm. What I like about this is, I know this is not quite your idea, or yours is a related idea, but people love podcasts. They love to find commentary, chat about things that they are interested in. You know, it's a good way of democratizing humour and talent. And this is kind of a way of bringing that podcast sensibility to a live sport game, right?
For sure. I mean, it's one of the coolest things that we've been able to do is not just democratize it, but also bring some more diverse voices into the game. So often, I mean, you think of a classic sports commentator and you think of a sort of pale male and generally older person who's generally the expert that's there to provide the comments. And so one of the things we've really enjoyed doing, and particularly with partners like Māori Television in New Zealand, is providing more diverse coverage, so more female commentators, new and different languages, young commentators who are just getting started with their career. So the diversity element of it really, really, really excites us and is something that we're really focused at, just making sports more reflective of modern day society all around the world.
Very exciting. And so even the world in which we currently live, there is a good use for your product, a good need for your product. But the world is changing, right? And your sort of service is going to be even more valuable.
We hope so. We hope so. I mean, we, like I say, 3.5 years old, but already working with folks like Rugby World Cup and La Liga and FIBA and Māori Television and the NBA. And we're really just focused on getting ourselves in front of as many of the sports federations as we can. And we certainly see a future where sort of all of the major sporting events in the world are coming through our system, being added with all sorts of different voices, and then broadcasters are picking and choosing which one of those voices they need to carry into their existing broadcast or live stream.
What's been the hardest part so far?
Look, I mean, starting a business in New Zealand is a great place to start because we've got really friendly, it's really easy to set up a business. I mean, you go on the company's office website and it's $120 and takes you a couple of days with a lawyer to sort of figure out constitution and things. Really easy to start, but really hard to scale from. So what we saw sort of after the first year, I was just living on an airplane. I think I took 120 flights in 2018. Mm-hmm. And I was literally just constantly traveling around the world, which one is hard on the body and mental health, and two, obviously terrible for the environment. And I think we're really trying to stop commentators flying to events. And so I was really picking up the slack and producing a ton of extra carbon for that. But I think that was the big challenge for us, was just figuring out how a couple of kids from Auckland could get in front of the NBA and in front of World Rugby and in front of these big names. And it was really challenging just to break through those barriers, being a sort of a small country at the bottom of the world that often the rest of the world doesn't pay too much attention to.
I understand you've got a big name investor though.
Yeah, Greg Norman. He's one of our shareholders. Invested a little over $1.5 million in the business last year. Has been awesome to get him involved. I mean, he's obviously Australian, so we share the sort of down under origins. And he's now based in Florida in Jupiter Beach. And he's got a fantastic team around the Greg Norman company. They have all sorts of not only investments, but also businesses that they actually own and operate, from live sports production to wine and clothing and golf course design. And met him at a conference, and he just really liked what we were doing. He's worked as a commentator before. He gets where the industry's going. And it just made perfect sense, and timing worked out. And yeah, we were able to get Greg on board as an investor, which was pretty exciting.
Is your business something that consumers, people like me, people at home watching sport, can interact with, can be a part of it? Or is it something that happens behind the scenes at these big sports and TV companies and we just sort of see the results?
Yep. So ideally, you won't ever know that we're a part of the production, because the commentary you're hearing will just be commentary that's served through through our cloud. So yeah, it's a funny one, because we definitely did start out with more of this idea around everyday people as commentators. but have certainly sort of moved to where the market has sort of guided us around, hey, broadcasters don't really want an average person at home who may not know the correct pronunciations or might use inappropriate language and things like that. So we've experimented with it, and we still do it for a few of our partners, but for the most part, we're just sort of a pipeline of media flying around the interweb.
Mm-hmm. You just won an award.
We did. I was in London about 6 weeks ago for the Broadcast Technology Awards. So there are, I guess, the Oscars for the people like us that are delivering all of these broadcasts all over the place, recognizing things from sort of the best virtual effects in a sports broadcast, through to best use of virtual reality, through to best sports commentator, those sorts of things. And we were up in the category of two categories, actually, for best technical innovation in a sports broadcast, for our work with the NBA G League, and also for best localization, for our work with World Rugby. And our work with the NBA, we took out that title, beating out, I think we beat out the Champions League, UEFA Champions League, for their HD content.
Wow.
As well as the London Marathon, BT Sport, and a few other big names. So it was a bit of a surprise, but it was obviously hugely exciting for us, and we were stoked to win that one.
And you got a London office opening next year.
We do. We've had a German intern who's been with us in New Zealand for the past 12 months, and he's making the move as his visa wraps up back up to the Europe. And we've decided to put him and another senior person on the ground in London, just to help open up that European market and reduce the amount of travel that I'm doing back and forth across the Atlantic.
It's a great story, Ben, and you sound like you deserve your success, but at the moment I know you're still in the hard work part. Spork co-founder Ben Reynolds from New York City. Good luck. We hope you'll always think of yourself as a Kiwi company, and really appreciate you spending some time talking to us today.
Thank you so much. The accent certainly stands out here in New York.